Uncle Laser here. America's built on fast cars, fast food, and even faster women. Photo Casino's built in America. You know what they're fast at? Fast cash prize redemption. You see, only Moto is U.S. owned and operated. Moto, it's American made. That's who we are, and that's who we care about. Play for free at Moto.us.
Moto Casino is the social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
It's time for the Del Olalea Show.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now, broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
When the world was a sign of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we're here in the world, something else. We can leave any day and call for help. We were gods, nobody was above me. The A on my chest like a Dolce. The A on my chest, put your fist up. The A on my chest like a chipmunk. Alvin, Theodore, breathe in, breathe out. Me and more, breathe in, breathe out. Never mind, it was time. Number nine, let my lies. Feline, with a death wish. Right, didn't have no name on the guest list. Hold on,
ESPN 975 is a proud partner for Houston Restaurants Week in 2024, and it's time to raise some money for the Houston Food Bank. For you, it's simple. Dine out, do good. Choose from over 400 restaurants to visit for lunch or the Houston or dinner. Select from their prefix menus, and a portion of the proceeds go to the Houston Food Bank, plus you're supporting local restaurants. It starts August 1st and runs through September 2nd. Go to HoustonRestaurantsWeek.com to find all the participating restaurants. That's HoustonRestaurantWeeks.com. Now that that's out of the way, let's hear from Julian, who has called in about Kikuchi before. Let's see what he has today. What's up, Julian?
What it is, Job Turkey. So I'm just curious, who do you think is going to bring the wood to Kikuchi? And let's hope the Rays don't have a Kikuchi fest tonight. Have a good one.
The first one, while poor and sophomoric, I understood. Kikuchi fest? I don't get it. Well, I get what he's doing. I just don't get it. I've never heard that term before. Hope the Rays don't have a Kikuchi fest? All right, man. You're teetering.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know about that one.
I hope they don't feast on Kikuchi tonight. That would have worked. If he would have said.
Yeah. Well, that would make them selfish.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, selfless.
If they don't?
If they don't, they're selfish.
Yes.
But
that's what
also I want the Astros to win.
Yes, so. Of course. Now, let's get away from Julian before this show decides to actually do better than he did in that regard.
Yandy Diaz revenge game? I'll just leave it at that.
Okay, we'll see.
For not getting traded to the Astros.
Why would he be so upset about that again? He had plans on real estate in Houston. Now he's upset? Yeah, that was one of the guys that was floated a bit late in the process. A guy who could be on the move who did not. And the Astros were allegedly in on him. And they wound up with Kikuchi and a Ferguson. My biggest contention about the trade deadline is the lack of impact with the bat. They needed some pop. And with Kyle Tucker being out and really no timeline for when he's coming back, how long can they kind of suffer through this lineup with its ups and downs? And some of it comes from one of their best players. I mentioned it yesterday, but did not get to the numbers. We got distracted because that's what happens on the show. Yordan Alvarez at home. He's not great, particularly when you compare him to what he does on the road. He has an OPS over 1,000 on the road. And this was before their last game. At home, OPS just under 730. A batting average, which is less important than it has been in the past, certainly. Batting average of 356 on the road, 237 at home. Slugging 660 on the road, 397 at home. So while the Astros aren't as bad as they were at home last year, Yordan Alvarez has not gotten the memo that it's okay to play well at home. He has been a far different player. So we have to hope that down the stretch he finds himself at home, because he's so important, particularly with the absence of Kyle Tucker. And just sometimes you have these empty spots in the lineup, just depending on who Espada rolls out there. And that's not even a criticism of Espada. There are just times where there are holes in the lineup because of lack of depth, whether it be through injury or just lack of talent, because you're missing a bat or two. So you're done at home. It'd be great if I don't need you to be MVP like you are on the road, but I like for you to be an all-star caliber player at home at the plate. That would help. James wanted to talk about Kikuchi. He's gone. James, you want to call back and you can.
Scared of the Kikuchi?
Don't put it on the pedestal either.
Is that your problem with the Astros accounts calling it Kikuchi Day? That they're putting Kikuchi on the pedestal?
Don't put Kikuchi on a pedestal. That's always a rule. We've been taught that rule for years. You guys know better.
Don't put it on the
pedestal. Don't put Kikuchi on a pedestal. Then you won't be disappointed. If it's an experience,
middling.
If it's an experience you won't like, if it's not something you like, it's your own fault because you raised it to a level you shouldn't have. Kikuchi is at this point, a hope and a prayer. The stuff is there. You might the Astros have a history of improving pitchers who, on their face, aren't the greatest. But I ain't tweeting about it being Kikuchi Day.
I'm trying to look up how much money it makes to see how much Jim Crane is spending on Kikuchi.
You know what they always say, Sean. No matter what, Kikuchi cost.
You may not think you're paying for it.
But Jim Crane may think he's paying, may think he's not paying a lot, but you're still paying. Hopefully you say Kikuchi lives up to the hype.
Because I want him to be an Astro for a while.
Yes, exactly. Because now it feels like it's temporary no matter what. Are they bringing him back in the offseason? Is he going to be a person that they can't live without? Feels unlikely.
I know it's something I always push against because it's like, great, you want us to make great because we made a mistake before, you want us to make another mistake.
Yeah, you want me to throw more bad money?
Yeah. They did trade for and then re-sign Rafael Montero.
I would hope they've learned their lesson.
I'm just saying they've done it. I'm not saying he's going to be that bad.
Understood. Understood. But at least, the thing is, Rafael Montero, don't give him 3 years, but they gave him money after he had performed to a level, but they gave him too much and they gave him too many years. That's the problem. Not that you decided you wanted to bring Montero back, but the fact that you gave him that money, which prohibited you from giving money to others. Now, you paid Josh Hader, but wouldn't it have been nice to maybe have some of the guys over the last couple of years that were probably one of the best bullpens in baseball? Had a historic run in 2022. I didn't foresee Montero being the only one that you decided, hey, we can't live without you, but we can live without some of the other guys. Like, it'd be nice to have Hector Neris here. It'd be nice. Graveman they brought back, but he got hurt. So that's one of the things they couldn't account for, Kendall Graveman getting hurt. But the lack of depth in the bullpen has been a problem. Thankfully, Taylor Scott, that minor league deal has played out in a way that you couldn't have imagined. I don't know if you want to call it luck, fortune, the magic pixie dust of Miller and Murphy. But if not for Taylor Scott, where would they be as far as dependable bullpen arms?
Yeah.
So they caught a break there. The Montero thing, certainly one they lost out on. And we'll see if Kikuchi is someone that after a mere 3 or 4 days in the Astros organization turns into a lights-out starter.
Hopefully we get some premium Kikuchi.
See, I feel like now we're just trying too hard. The pedestal one, I'll take ownership of.
Yeah, no, that one's good.
Yeah. Now
I feel like that should be like going forward.
Never put it on a pedestal.
Don't put Kikuchi on a pedestal. Yeah. He's the number four starter.
Exactly. There's a reason he was available. No matter what you think it cost, there's a reason the Blue Jays were like, here, take him. Take him. They had done what they wanted to with Kikuchi. And now it's the Astros' turn. We'll see how it plays out for them as they try to separate themselves from the Mariners, which we would have hoped after they initially took the lead, after being 10 games back. You felt like, okay, this was going to be a train rolling downhill. Have they been more than a game up on the Mariners since they've been ahead? Have they gotten to two games? I think it's always been one or tied.
Yeah, I think it's been percentage points and maybe one game.
I think so, too. I think they've never been able to stretch it out. So it's now percentage points again. We'll see what they do when Kikuchi starts them off tonight. Sometimes it can be overrated. And I've talked about this quarterback before, Justin Herbert. Sometimes the projections and what you believe about a quarterback can be overrated. Justin Herbert, people think he is a football playing robot who got the big arm, the processing, all the things you would want from your starter. Hasn't really played out that great for the Chargers. Now he's injured. We're going to hear from his backup quarterback for a couple of years, Chase Daniel. He talks about what Justin Herbert's going through with the plantar fasciitis and what it might mean for him and the Chargers. And, well, I guess Jim Harbaugh as well. We'll talk about that when we come back.
ESPN 97.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios is the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now back to Del Olalea.
That was Michael Carroll, the voice of this show. You'll hear him in about 15 minutes. He is the host of Comicast. He does that podcast with John Lee, which you can hear also on 97.5 from 9 to 10 on Fridays, 9 p.m. to 10 p.m. on Friday. So he'll be here to join us. I don't know what he thinks about Lord of the Rings, but that trailer came out. I'm not sure Michael's fandom when it comes to that, but we'll talk to him about all that is going on in the world of pop culture. He'll give you some recommendations on things to watch. Maybe you want to go to the theater and watch something that isn't Deadpool or Wolverine. Maybe Michael has something for you, or you just want to stay home as well. He has you covered there. But I did want to get to this. Chase Daniels has ventured into the media realm, as a lot of former athletes do. I think he does stuff with The Ringer. Or maybe it's the Athletic Football Show. It's one of the two. He does something with them. He's done that in the past. I think he continues to do it. But he was a guy who a lot of people applauded because he made a lot of money for not playing a lot of snaps. He was one of those good locker room guys who other quarterbacks, the starters, weren't threatened by, but they like having him around. So he maintained a roster spot for years. You think about Chase Daniel. He's one of those guys where you think there should be an S at the end where there isn't. One of the South Lake Carroll boys. So at some point, he probably dyed his hair blonde for a playoff run. I'm assuming he would have had to. Had a great career at Missouri, but he started as an undrafted free agent in 2009 and lasted until 2022. That's a long time for an undrafted free agent to stay in the league. And a lot of it has to do with the fact that, hey, he ain't going to screw anything up. He's fine with being the backup. And our starter is probably going to like having him around. Well, one of his former teammates, a guy who was ahead of him on the depth chart for obvious reasons, is Justin Herbert. Justin Herbert, plantar fasciitis. The Chargers expect him to be back by week one. These things can be a little volatile, so we'll see. But that's the expectation right now. Here's Chase Daniel telling us what his former teammate can expect.
The interesting thing, Diana, about a quarterback dealing with a right plantar fascia injury is that it's their plant leg. So when they're going back to drop, all their weight is in the back right heel and back right foot. So when you're up on your toes, it makes it feel so much worse. It's not like it's their front leg if you're a right-handed quarterback. It's not your left foot, because you could deal with it on that. You're putting all your weight and you're pushing off all of your energy comes from that heel and that leg. And so it's just not a fun feeling. It feels like there's a million pins in the bottom of your heel just poking through, and you almost just want it to like rip in half so it can just like get better. But I think this is a much bigger deal than the Chargers tweet seemed to lead on, because this gradual protocol to play, that's great. New offense, first year, Greg Roman, new head coach, Jim Harbaugh, new system, new receiving core, new everything, and Justin's going to miss the bulk of camp, and he's just supposed to get in there and pick it up the first week. Like, I don't know. It just seems a little bit,
it's concerning. It is concerning. Doubt. It's not just your starting franchise quarterback, who obviously is very good at football, just missing the preseason. This is just a lot of new that the Chargers organization is facing and dealing with.
That's Diana Rossini. That's the Diana you heard him reference early. So this was done with The Athletic. My toxic fandom would say, oh, look, more excuses for Justin Herbert. But, you know, sometimes you got to be an adult. And that's rough for the Chargers. They are going to de-emphasize, from all accounts, Justin Herbert as a passer anyway. We saw them leave or let Keenan Allen or trade Keenan Allen. They lost Mike Williams too. Ladd McConkey is a guy that seemed to have to depend on this year, the rookie out of Georgia. Quinn Johnson is still dropping passes in training camp. So the wide receiver core ain't great. Justin Herbert's weapons aren't particularly impressive. They did draft the tackle early. So it felt like this was going to be a team that's transitioning into more of Harbaugh's image, where we're going to run the ball, play action, take more off the quarterback's plate, which might benefit the Chargers in the long run. But it would be a question of, why are we taking things off the plate of your alleged superstar quarterback, the one you're paying to be a guy who leads you, not one who maybe turns into more of a chaperone as opposed to the guy driving a Ferrari. He's the guy, you know, hey, hand the ball off 35 times a game, and I'll make my plays off of the run game. We'll see how it plays out, but we're not going to see it over the course of the next month and a half or so. The expectation is he's ready by the start of the season, but from Chase Daniel and his thoughts, it feels like something that could be bothering Justin Herbert beyond when they say he's ready to play.
I think that's likely. When it's 4 to 6 weeks and it's 6 weeks away from the start of the season. Actually, no. It's only a month away from the start of the season now. That seems bad. That
seems like a problem.
Seems like you're cutting it quite close.
Yeah.
And this is also where, hey, I get that Jim Harbaugh, there's a new sheriff in town. This isn't the same old Chargers. Am I trusting the Chargers doctors to treat this man's foot? I don't know.
They've had a lot of injuries, and yeah, Justin Herbert started his career because
six foot five too.
They punctured a guy's lung. Yeah. So
a lot of But I don't know. I think if you want to make excuses for Herbert this year, I think
this one would be allowed.
You've got your ammunition.
If you're looking to,
you don't have to slander the good name of Joshua Palmer and Ladd McConkey now, being like he doesn't have weapons.
When you're blaming him, when you're trying to find anyone but him to blame for the Chargers' lack of success, the injuries.
How dare you bring up Gerald Everett? I don't know.
he ran the wrong route. I swear.
I don't know if he's still on the Chargers.
They've loved him for a bit. I'm not sure. The Justin Herbert conversations are interesting because you look to Cincinnati, guy in the same draft class, another guy who's had injury concerns now. The guy in Miami, injury concerns too. And Justin Herbert is one of the players who everyone, for the most part, believes can be a quarterback of a great team. They just see the ability and just believe that that's the type of quarterback we want. No one can ever account for injuries, but now this is, we're talking the back half of last year, now this year, where the big, strong, this is what we want. He can take the NFL punishment, which just points to you can never predict. You can look at one body type and look at the other and go, that's the guy I want, except now the guy you would put in a digital printer and go, that's the type of quarterback I want. 3D printer, not digital printer. 3D printer, and think, that's the guy I want at quarterback. Now he is dealing with injuries that are going to hamper him for the better part of, we're talking about now, Since October of last year, he's been dealing with stuff, and now he has to deal with something else. It's the NFL, man. I would stop looking at who, size of someone, prototypical. You never know about injuries. And I bring that up partly because we have Tank Dell in this town, who, if he wasn't playing guard, I guess, would have hopefully survived the year. And then I look at Xavier Worthy's practice video. Not the one where he caught that deep ball from from Patrick Mahomes, which got everyone excited. It's the clip. If you haven't seen it, it's from this week. He was trying to get off press coverage, and he got thrown aside. He's not a big guy. It'll happen. And then when he was trying to recover from being tossed aside, like a linebacker said, "Oh, I see you. I'm going to chuck you to the floor, too."
Yeah. So basically, he was in press coverage in the slot, and the slot corner basically threw him to where the linebackers are, and the linebackers threw him back into the slot.
And he had to get up and try to run his route.
That's basically what happened. He got thrown like 5 yards both directions.
It was a rough clip for Xavier Worthy, and that's some of the concerns. Smaller guy, but the speed is undeniable. As long as he's not getting beat up at the line of scrimmage, I don't know how you cover him on deep routes. And that was some of the concern about Tank Dell. He's too small. But we saw when Tank Dell gets off the line of scrimmage, you can't cover him. So size, whether you have it or not, always going to be a concern in the NFL. Injuries can happen, or they won't.
Yeah, it's something where the conclusion might just be like, man,
it's the NFL.
Playing in the NFL,
it's hard. Yeah,
It really does not matter how big or small you are.
What position you play?
It's super hard.
I will say though,
can you be bigger than Bryce Young?
If you're quarterback,
I think on the top end, the benefits of being on the top end of height is overstated.
But you don't want to be on the outlier small.
Yes, when it's the pre-draft and people are saying, "Well, Drew Brees worked out," that's not a good place to be in. I mean, Drew Brees did work out. There's a lot of other guys built like Drew Brees where it didn't work out.
Yeah. And just 2 years ago, another guy around Drew Brees' height, people were wondering whether he would play football again because of concussions down in Miami. So you just never know. You never know. And then next year he gets through a full season, doesn't miss a snap. So, as you said, football's hard. Coming up, we'll talk about something a little less physical, unless Michael Carroll's doing some weird thing while he's watching movies. Michael Carroll of Comicast joins us up next. He'll give you what to watch, maybe what not to watch, and what to look forward to. We'll talk to Michael Carroll when we come back.
ESPN 97.5.
And action!
It's Friday, and so you're probably wondering, what am I going to watch this weekend? Besides all the sports, of course. If you're not sure if you should go to the theater or stay home and binge something, we got you covered on the Del Olalea Show. Time to talk about what you should be watching this weekend with Del Olalea, Sean Mapes, and some guy named Michael Carroll.
Some guy is in the studio right now. Welcome, Michael Carroll.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Michael Carroll hosts the Comicast with Jong Lee. Latest episode is number 549, issue 549.
Yeah.
Talking to, is it Chalice?
Chalice Williams
of Real Movie Junkie. Mm-hmm. She was at SDCC. For you noobs, that's known as San Diego Comic-Con. A big event that happened over the weekend, last weekend. And we'll get into some of the shows you might watch or a movie you should watch because there are, and we were discussing it before before we came on, there is a big M. Night Shyamalan movie out that maybe you should watch. Who knows? But let's start with Comic-Con first. I would imagine beyond the Thunderbolts being seen,
mm-hmm.
and who else, and Captain America, so
Brave New World.
We had a panel for that. The big news is RDJ, which was rumored to be the case.
Yeah.
He is back in the MCU as Doom. What was your, despite the rumors that suggested this wasn't that big of a surprise to some, what was your feeling once it was confirmed?
Let me add some context here. The issue before that, the 547, because we actually did two. I should note, this week we did two, where we focus on the RDJ announcement and we do our Deadpool spoiler review.
Okay.
And then the issue that just came out today is all about San Diego Comic-Con with Chalice, who was there covering it. She covered the press line for Marvel's Hall H panel and everything. But on issue 547, we talked about the rumor that RDJ would play, or Tony Stark would be Dr. Doom. And we were like, no, that's stupid. No, why would they? No, well, you shouldn't do that. And then they announced it. And then it was like, okay, I don't love it. And if it's a Tony Stark variant, I really don't love it. They've said it's a Victor Von Doom variant, which, okay, cool. My initial thought after that was, okay, maybe it's like a Pedro Pascal situation where, in terms of Mandalorian, where he... He does the voice of the character.
But he never takes off the mask.
He never takes it. Only in certain moments, like big moments or something like that. But it's, you know, a mask character. It stays. I mean, it tracks. Doom's pretty much in a mask all the time. Mm-hmm. But then we saw the payout. The Russos are getting $80 million to do Avengers Doomsday and Avengers Secret Wars. He's getting apparently significantly more. So it's like, are you really going to hide his face for all that time? I don't think so. So, I mean, maybe because maybe he's a little disfigured, so maybe it's not as like, oh, that's Tony Stark. I don't know. It's a weird, I don't love it. I'm open to it, but I don't love it.
What do you suspect the idea for it is? That he will be someone that characters we know now have to fight who looks similar to a former friend, a now past friend? Is that going to be the dramatic turn where he's a guy whose face looks so familiar? Because, well, he looks like Tony Stark.
See, I hate that, though. Yeah. Like, I feel like we've centered ourselves so much around Tony Stark at this point that it was time to, like, get away from that, right? Yeah. Like, that's been one of the memes has been going around. Like, oh, how's Peter Parker going to react when he sees, like, Doom is basically Tony Stark? But he's not supposed to be Tony Stark. So it's just we should be dreading Dr. Doom because he's one of the more fascinating villains from the comics. Like, he's a really layered villain that does more than just tech stuff. He has the magic stuff that he does, and he's super sinister. He also runs a country. Like, there's all these different aspects of Doom that we haven't seen. I don't want it to just simply be, hey, he looks like Tony. You know what I mean? Like, that just feels like...
You don't want the conflict to be an emotional one simply because he looks like... Okay, I get that.
Because you're looking for the next big bad after Thanos, right? Thanos has become pop culture, like, synonymous with pop culture now. A character that many people didn't know. Now, everyone knows about the snap. Everyone knows about Thanos. They thought they had something with Kang, and obviously they didn't for a multitude of reasons. Sure. So this is your chance. Like, this is your next big bad. We need to get this right. And instead, you go back to the well of Robert Downey Jr. Not to say he's not a good actor. Like, I'm sure he'll kill it. Like, I'm sure he'll do well, but it's, are we focused on him just because he looks like Tony Stark and that, you know, the Tony Stark angle of it all? I don't love that. I think Doom should stand on his own, and I really wish it was some other actor.
The idea will matter. The way they implement it will matter. Yeah. But to your point, if the entire thing is about the actor, or at least the characters, responding to what looks like a former friend, I feel it rings a little hollow.
Yeah.
And certainly they're trying to play the hits because at least this phase hasn't been, at least the previous phase hasn't been met with a lot of enjoyment as far as the entire thing is concerned. So
yeah,
that's the big news. But yeah, I don't know. I'm probably less negative than you, only because I'll wait for the idea. But
right,
the initial thing is I'm not excited. Probably like, okay, we'll see.
Yeah, it's mixed right now. The same with Jong. I think Jong and I are both kind of in the same spot. I was a little more open to it, but in issue 548 that released earlier this week, the news broke about the pay structure. And I was like, oh, well, there's no chance of the idea I had.
Yeah,
like,
if he never took off the mask.
I doubt that's...
I would have been... I think that would be better.
That would be way better.
But
that would
be way better. And it would be a departure from Doom if the mask is always off.
Like, yeah,
if
it's just, no. Hey,
yeah.
It shouldn't be. Like, if it breaks after a big fight, you know, towards the back half of one of the acts of one of the Avengers movies, that's one thing. But if it's... like, he's constantly, like the Halo show would do with Master Chief, just have the mask off all the time, have the armor off all the time. And the other thing, too, is how he plays Doom. I don't think he'll just replicate his Tony Stark thing. I don't think he would do that. But is he just going to be kind of quippy and, mm-hmm. and things and not feel like Doom? Doom is your next
villain.
You got to get him
you
right.
You need a real villain. You need an actual conflict that people care about.
Because like you said, the multiverse angle hasn't been hitting for people in the recent years. It just hasn't. And that's part of why they pivoted from Kang. I mean, obviously the bigger aspect is Jonathan Majors got in trouble, convicted, I believe. So you had to pivot in some way. But audiences weren't responding.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think people were, even though I love Jonathan Majors' performance as the character. I thought he was phenomenal, but he just wasn't that imposing force that we felt that compared to Thanos.
Getting tricked by Ant-Man doesn't help.
Getting beat up by ants.
Doesn't help the prestige.
No.
Doesn't help the feeling that, okay, this guy is going to be wrecking shop for the next decade.
And it confuses people. Like, he dies, and it's like, wait, So he died. So why are we so scared of him? Also, yeah. like Ant-Man punched him in the face. Like,
yeah. So why would I be scared of a different variant?
He should have won. Like, yeah. he should have won. It should have been a bigger deal that he won.
Ant-Man should have died.
Yeah. Well, I mean, there a couple characters should have died. Yeah. In that one.
So let's move on from a little disappointment. Anything big? Anything from Comic-Con that you were excited about? Whether it be Marvel or anything else.
I would say probably. Shalice was talking about this on the issue that comes out today. She talked about Alien Romulus, which comes out in a couple weeks.
Okay. I'm,
again, not the biggest horror guy, but I'm excited for this Alien Romulus movie. And she talked about she got to interview the director, Fede Alvarez, and he comes from Evil Dead Rise, I believe was the movie.
I think it might be on Max right now.
I think so. Yeah. And so he's taken the Alien franchise back to its roots, which is the horror elements of it. And he has, I forget how she worded it, so I'm paraphrasing. Forgive me if I get this wrong. But Shalice said that, like, Fetty, what he's shown in the trailers is not exactly the movie. Like, he's purposefully taking things out to keep the surprise in
cool.
line. So,
because I went to see Deadpool Wolverine. Gave my review earlier, but I saw the trailer and I was kind of upset only because I didn't want to see so much of Alien Romulus. And in the trailer, I imagine these won't be major characters, but they might have an emotional pull on some of the big characters in the movie. You see people get hit with the facehugger. Okay, you're not surviving, I assume. So you immediately think, okay, if I remember the trailer, that person's going to die. So we'll see what is real as far as what we see and what isn't. But I'm with you. I'm bigger in the horror than you are. But Alien Romulus is always – Alien, the franchise, has always been something I've loved.
Definitely.
And this one seems like we're going back to the Sigourney Weaver era where it's going to be hell on anyone who doesn't like this type of stuff. So we'll see. We'll see. So Alien Romulus, you're interested in so good that even Michael Carroll will watch a horror type movie.
I'm about it.
So if we're talking about things that are coming up, whether this weekend or in the near future for people to watch, whether it be movies and TV, what would you put at the top of the list?
Well, this weekend, it's pretty busy. For theater, there's two big releases that come out today. For the more, I guess it's PG-13 crowd, there's Trap, the new M. Night Shyamalan movie that you teased. Middling reviews.
Okay.
Not like... crazy. So, I think it's the main thing that I've seen so far is it's propelled by Josh Hartnett's performance.
Okay.
That's, I think, the saving grace for it. So, because we haven't seen that man in like forever, it feels like. He's been in a few things.
He was an Oppenheimer.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He was an Oppenheimer.
Yeah. I only know that because I just watched Oppenheimer this week. Yeah.
Okay. So, like, it's been a while since he's been the leading man.
Yeah. Sure.
So, that has me kind of interested. But, like, we were talking about before we started the segment, M. Night Shyamalan's like, I don't know, he's not batting very well right now.
And we talked about it, like he's a victim of his early success where everything has to be a twist. Is he allowed to just tell a story? Like, can it be just a good story? There is no twist. And hey, just watch a movie that I have a good idea and I think is good.
I remember watching Village. I remember watching the trailers for Village, and I was like, oh, I'm all about this. And I watched the movie. I'm like, oh, I'm all about this. And then it's a bunch of people in the woods.
Yeah.
Just
a bunch of
hippies living in the woods.
Yeah, he had to give you something. Like, if the end, it was not a twist, and it was just, hey, yeah, what you see is what it is. I'm like, you know what? That's a good movie.
Yeah.
The twist, if it's not hitting, will change your perspective. And I imagine it'll be another one because the trailer feels like it's giving you the entire movie.
Yeah.
Like the concept of a serial killer knowing, if you don't know, Trapped is, it's set up where some very vocal and maybe a little dumb person selling popcorn tells someone, hey, you know, see all these cops? This is what's happening. Like, why would security tell? You're supposed to keep, I would imagine you keep it a secret from everyone.
Well, everyone certainly tells not, the popcorn guy.
Yeah, because the popcorn guy, hey, popcorn guy, anyone you meet could be our serial killer, so stop telling everyone what's going on. That's my editorializing of
popcorn,
the trailer.
Popcorn guy just wants to be in the know.
Yeah.
He's just happy to be in the know.
And he wants to gossip. So it is set up where Josh Hartnett's character is a serial killer. That's what we think.
Yeah, that's because,
but it's a Shyamalan movie, so we're not sure. But he's supposed to be a serial killer where he got tickets for a concert, and the police, because they haven't been able to catch this killer in traditional means, is using a concert to get him there. We don't know if that's the direct storyline. Maybe someone else is the killer, but Josh Hartnett is certainly positioned as the person doing all the murdering, and he has to try to escape this trap.
I wonder if he, like, what kind of artist did it take to lure him out? Like, is this, in the movie, the equivalent of, like, a Taylor Swift or something?
How do they
like
know
that?
That he has a daughter that loves this? How do they entice this person to come to this show? How would they know? Did he leave like a ticket stub from his previous concert at the crime scene as a calling card? I don't know.
He just leaves concert tickets every time.
How would they know? I guess we'll find out why this was appealing.
This is the only thing that we have to go on. He's a big Taylor Swift fan.
Or this universe is equivalent of Taylor Swift.
Yeah, exactly.
We'll see. And it couldn't be Taylor Swift. They're in an arena. They weren't in a stadium.
That's a good point.
It couldn't have been Taylor Swift.
That's a good point.
I don't know. Maybe Sabrina Carpenter. I don't know. Whatever the equivalent is. Okay, so that's Trap. That is one. If you are still in on Shyamalan, you'll give him a chance no matter what. That's one you can see. What else is out there?
So the other big release this weekend is Harold and the Purple Crayon for families out there.
Okay.
Although I'd probably recommend just go see Inside Out 2 because that's one of the biggest movies of the year. Sure. Also a better movie as Harold and the Purple Crayon is sitting at 32% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Yeah, that's sometimes doesn't matter with kids, but if you're a parent, that's tough.
Yeah, it's. I mean, maybe for the kids it'll be fine, but... I don't know. It's not great. Just go watch Deadpool and Wolverine again.
Well, maybe leave the 8-year-old at home. But sure.
Real quick, parents who are taking kids to the Deadpool and Wolverine, I have questions. I'm just saying.
I'm not a parent. Do what you want, but it seems like an odd place to spend family time, even considering the first scenes of the movie.
You know,
and then the rest of the movie follows along that line as well.
I do like there's a moment that comments on how we think of violence where someone gets brutally murdered, but then someone carries a dog, and it's like, wait. We can't step that far.
Yes.
Like, we have standards here.
There's a point where I guess violence in movies is numbing, but if you bring a dog into the equation, even the ugly-ass dog that we saw in that movie, if that dog's in danger, we've got an issue. So don't watch Harold and the Purple Crayon.
Well,
it has bad reviews.
Speaking of do not watch.
Okay.
Dell, let me interest you in this streaming premiere.
But you just prefaced it by saying don't watch it.
Well, I think you'll hate this.
Okay.
Rebel Moon Part 1, Part 2, Director's Cut.
I'm aware.
Available now.
Netflix has made me aware that the Director's Cuts for those not well-received movies from Zack Snyder are available. Because I haven't watched... On the back of your poor review of the second one, I still haven't watched the second one.
Good call.
I'm a completist, so I probably will get to it, but it's not at the top of my priority list.
It's not good. And also, I read there's a fascinating article by a writer named David Chen who kind of dives deep into the whole thing where Netflix wanted him to make a PG-13 version because they were like, no, movies that are 2 hours and are PG-13 do better on our platform. And they're like, I forget which one of them suggested, okay, but what if I make director's cuts at the same time?
Ugh.
So he's making a PG-13 and he's willing to like, yeah, sure, I'll do this, I'll do that, because I'm making my version on the side at the same time. Does that not interest you at all?
No.
No?
Okay. No.
Come on.
What do you mean, come on?
Release the Snyder Cut.
I've heard that before, sure. And the Snyder Cut.
And it fixed everything.
Did it?
It fixed all the things.
It fixed it so well that the Snyderverse no longer exists. And DC had to reboot their cinematic universe.
It's a new Snyderverse.
With James Gunn at the helm.
No, this is the new Snyderverse.
Oh, this is the Snyderverse. Okay.
Rebel Moonverse.
The Rebel Moonverse? I'm good.
It's his, as it was described in the article that I read, it's his take on Seven Samurai in space.
Cool. I've seen the first part. I'm not interested. There'll be a time, maybe, you know what? I'm going on vacation in 3 weeks. I will have my PlayStation 5, so it will be a
ample opportunity.
I'll be in Florida, so maybe I'll sit down on a Monday and go, you know what? I'm going to watch all of these, but I'm not watching the director's cuts. That's not happening. I'll just
watch
the two.
But that's the better. That's the true version.
Yeah, whatever. Sure.
Yeah, don't watch it. Yeah. I'm sorry. Don't watch it.
Yeah.
I can't keep this bit up no longer.
Do you want to end on a high note? Do you have anything else before we wrap it up, or do you want to leave people with don't watch something?
Season finale of House of the Dragon.
Oh, of
that's
course.
This weekend.
Of course, which is sad, but I'm excited about it as well.
Also, Godzilla Minus One Minus Color is out now on Netflix.
Okay. I've watched it in a less than legal fashion and a legal fashion.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not sure I'm going with the non-color fashion. I'm not sure I'm there yet.
No? Okay.
We'll see. It's better than the Rebel Moonverse. I'll tell you that right now.
Oh, and Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes is on Hulu right now.
So. All right, there it is.
That's a good one.
I like that movie. Go out and watch. It's a good movie. Or stay home and watch that one if you did not go and watch it initially. We are done with the segment. We got one more to go. That's Michael Carroll, co-host of Comicast with John Lee. They did two episodes this week. Which one's going to be on 97.5 tonight?
The issue with Shalice.
Okay, so you can listen to Shalice Williams. She was at Comic-Con. Get her take on everything that went on there. Comicast, 9 to 10 on 97.5. Michael John Lee, the host of that. Well, also, podcast form, anywhere you find your podcast, you can listen to those guys. Thank you, Michael.
Thank you.
We'll talk to you next week. We got one more segment to go. We will be back.
ESPN 97.5.
You're back inside the Veritex Community Bank Studios with Del Olalea. I mean, you're not actually in the studio, but if you watch ESPN Houston's YouTube channel, it's kind of like you are.
No, not really. Okay.
Gaunt and George and the Killer Bees, they're out at the Hunter's Extravaganza, which is at NRG Center. So if you want to see those guys while you're out picking up hunting supplies, you can wave and say, hey, guys, what's up? They're going to be out there from 12 to 6. That'll begin right after we're done. An hour after they start, after they're done, we got the Astros and the Rays. Kikuchi versus Baz. What I don't need to see tonight is Jose Siri pimping a Kikuchi home run. That combination might just blow my brain. The fact that Jose Siri will pimp and strut like, I won't say like never before, but we know what he's about. When he hits home runs, he's going to let you know. And if he does it against Kikuchi in Minute Maid Park, let's just pack up the season, honestly.
We're going to have some problems.
Yeah, I mean, no, because the Mariners are the Mariners. So it won't really matter that much. I just don't need to see it. Let's have a Siri-free night when it comes to pimping home runs.
Okay.
That's my standard.
No pimping zone.
I'm watching 3-on-3, and I knew this guy did this. But Canyon Berry, the son of Rick Berry, he's still doing the underhand free throw thing.
Nice.
It just speaks to where we are talent-wise in our 3-on-3 program. I don't know if this was pre-recorded. I think the U.S. women beat France this morning, or maybe this is the game that I saw, and it's just replayed, although it's listed as live. I know we got a win today. It would have to be this one, because right now it'd be like, what, 8 p.m. there, and there's daylight. So I think this is the one. So I gave it away, I guess, if you're, whatever reason, simulcasting. Or just watching us and watching, or listening to us and watching them. But I think we get a win here, a close one, off the back of Canyon Berry's underhanded free throw. So we got a win. The program's still not great. This weekend, I'm going to go 2 out of 3. Give me 2 out of 3, and that should be the standard going forward. I don't think the Mariners are going to play better baseball than if you're taking 2 out of 3 for the most part the rest of the way. I don't feel great about tonight, though.
Yeah.
I don't think the Miller Murphy magic dust will have taken a hold by tonight. We got Kikuchi in his first start. We got people tweeting about it like it's supposed to be something we look forward to. I hope he gives us 5. I'm not sure how many runs he gives up. I'm just hoping he gets the 5.
5 and 5, 3 earned runs?
That would be great. That would be awesome.
That'd be great.
For where we are, if he comes in and gives up 3 runs in 5 innings, I'm taking that all the time. I mean, I can't predict what the Astros offense is going to do, but it leaves you in the game at least.
I guess. But, yeah.
What do you expect from him?
A little bit better than keep you in the game.
In his first start?
That's what our hopes were for Bloss and Arrighetti. This guy got traded for Bloss and Loperfido. Like, the expectation needs to be above keep us in the game.
So what do you think happens?
I'm putting it on the pedestal.
You're putting Kikuchi. Okay. Do you think a quality start is the minimum that we should ask for? Six innings, 3 runs given up?
Yeah. Give me some quality.
You want quality Kikuchi? That's what you want? Okay.
Jim Crane's paying $10 million for Kikuchi. It better be quality.
Well, he's a victim of putting it on a pedestal. We all know.
Better be quality. Paying for it.
Well, as we said before, no matter what you're doing, you're always paying for Kikuchi. No, if he's on the Blue Jays, I think are still paying for him, at least a little bit. We're done. Join the guys out at the Hunter's Extravaganza. If you're not on the way there, you should make your way out there. We're going to be broadcasting live from 12 to 6. Gallant and George first, then the Killer Bees. We're done for the week. At least this show is. And because of that, what does that mean?
We did it!
You're damn right, we did do it. I'll talk to you on Monday.
Casino. Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Spring is sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big.